This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Friday's episode of Outspoken. Now, Kate, you have some really, really exciting news to share with the Outspoken community. We understand the pitter-patter of little feet are coming your way.
Yes, our family of three is turning into a family of four. We're expecting a baby puppy. A puppy.
A little girl. Now, this is a golden retriever puppy.
Yes, and she is so adorable. So the mum had a litter of 10 and we got the last girl. So there were 7 girls and 3 boys. And I'm just so excited. We pick her up on November 22nd.
It's pretty funny because we've got family dinner tonight and I did warn mum that you and Reese have a special announcement you'd like to make at dinner. And her reaction was, is she pregnant?
Oh no. Mum did tell me not to get a second dog. So I'm a little bit worried about what her reaction is going to be tonight. Well, Amy, I feel like we always talk about takeaway on a Friday. Mm. Our mind always seems to go there. But you've got an interesting McDonald's story to share with us.
Yeah, well, a McDonald's worker has allegedly been sacked after uploading a video to TikTok showing him pouring sweet and sour sauce instead of caramel sauce onto a customer's frappuccino.
Was this for Skye Wheatley and Lockie? Because I feel like she and her boyfriend are obsessed with sweet and sour sauce. I've got to admit, I've actually never had it. Have you guys had it before?
No, I've never had it, but I've got to try it. But I always feel like, yeah, that is the item that is always left out of people's McDonald's bags.
Maybe it's the ultimate revenge because they just never get it right with the sweet and sour sauce.
Yeah.
Hey, how come we don't have sauce in packets like they do in other countries?
We do.
Because they've got sweet and sour. Do we?
Yeah, you just have to request it.
Oh, gosh, I've been living all this time thinking I can't get extra sauce.
What you're confused about is in Malaysia, they have little pots of sauce in the restaurant dining area and you can fill up little containers with your sauce and dip at the table. That's what you're confused.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that tomato sauce is highly, like, easily available at McDonald's.
No, it's not. You have to ask for it. But just back to this video. So this TikTok shows the worker putting whipped cream on the customer's order and then drizzling the packet of sweet and sour sauce. And it's got the caption, when the customer has an attitude, but you remember you only make $8.50 an hour. So this video went viral. It clocked up 62.9 million views. And this guy has remained anonymous on TikTok and he used to share other videos at McDonald's. So 13 days later after posting the video, he shared another TikTok which showed him waving at a McDonald's store and he revealed he'd allegedly been sacked. So he said, you got me fired by McBitches, so what's next? And to be honest, after having a look at his TikTok account, I'm kind of not surprised that he got fired because he used to take videos of the McDonald's kitchen not looking so impressive. This was...
That's the sort of stuff I don't want to see. Like, I want to be oblivious to the state of the kitchen and takeaway
shops. This actually reminds me of when we were all working in a cafe and there was one waitress who had a rather unpleasant exchange with a customer. So as revenge, she ended up pouring them a glass of wine and spitting in the glass behind the bar.
And I ended up serving this to the customer because she said, oh, I've spat in it. And I thought she was joking. So I became an accomplice to all of this.
Well, actually, it reminds me of the time that you spat in my cup of tea growing up.
We were 7 or so at the time.
I do remember at this same restaurant, Kate, you basically got let go of because you forgot to put a order through and it was the owner, I think it was the owner of Wendy's or some kind of store like that.
Yeah.
Did you ever think to do some kind of revenge act on them?
No, because I didn't know I was in trouble at that point. The annoying thing was that happened because This cafe was like a beachside cafe. It wasn't anything fancy, but they seem to want to try and be fancy and you have to memorize all the orders. Now, is it just me or I would prefer the waiter to write down your order so they get it correct? Like, I don't care if they can memorize it on the spot. Like, who cares?
Oh my God. I remember being so embarrassed when they would expect you to memorize the specials. Mm. And I always had no idea what they were. And you'd just be like glancing at the blackboard.
Is it just me or, you know, some people think that kind of hospitality jobs are really easy. They're actually not. I feel like there's so many things you have to remember.
There's all these jobs that growing up you have no idea how to do. For example, I have never been taught how to use a coffee machine. The first time I tried to use a coffee machine, I blew the whole thing up. And you just expected, like, you're not trained in any I got a tip out of it, but in these certain situations, you're not trained whatsoever to do it. It's just expected.
Or even carrying plates. Like, I've got quite small hands. Like, it's really hard to carry more than one plate on each hand, and they're expecting you to be all fancy and carrying all these plates. Like, what happens if it smashes? Like, why can't you just carry one at a time?
Have you guys ever tried to sting someone that you've served? Though, for instance, we're all big lovers of sombreros, and I feel like sometimes you go through and people absolutely screw you over. Like, there'll be like a drizzle of the sauce.
Oh my gosh.
But have you guys done that at the restaurant we worked at?
That gets me raging when there's clearly a new bottle of Chipotle sauce under the counter, but they're trying to hit all the old sauce out of the, like, the bottle. And it's like, it's exhausted. Can you just get me the new bottle, please?
I felt terrible. I actually went to a takeaway shop and there was a new person. Like, it was their first shift and they didn't know they didn't know how it worked. So they started serving me and they gave me the smallest serving, to the point, like, I would never normally say
anything.
Was
that at Zombreros?
Yeah, it was at Zombreros. And so they literally gave me like half a spoonful of beans and it was like half a cup of rice. And I said to them, oh, I'm really sorry, but normally they give me double that. And it was, I just honestly felt like saying, can I just go behind and just do it myself?
That has happened to me and I felt like such an asshole, but I was enraged by it because you still need to pay like $14 for this, the thing that's not right.
To be honest, I have done that in a situation where people were rude to me at the cafe.
So you were that hopeless worker. Well,
yes, I was quite hopeless, but I would purposely give them a smaller ice cream cone than everyone else.
See, I used to make such big ice cream cones at this cafe that people would walk out and the cone would start snapping because it would be so heavy.
Or when your friends would come in and give you $5 and you'd give them the absolute works off the menu.
But if I was a business owner, if I owned one of these chains, I would actually prefer people to actually give bigger serves because it makes you want to go back.
My other favorite trick of working at a cafe is purposely leaving the door open in winter in an attempt to make people leave. So,
or stacking chairs.
Yeah, stacking chairs, loudly talking in front of the tables.
I wonder why you were fired.
But then when I'm in a restaurant, I'm raging if people do it that to me. I'm like, this is so rude.
I'm Liberty, I'm 21, and I'm a waitress from Birmingham. They always put me on door because I'm really clumsy. I can't carry the plates or nothing. I'm just better at talking to people.
Love Island's Liberty Pool has reportedly signed a $1 million deal with fast fashion brand In The Style. The deal will see the 22-year-old launch her own collection and signals a growing trend in influencer marketing. No longer happy to just be advertising vehicles, savvy influencers are cashing in on their own personal brands. Sophie, can you tell me about the deal?
Well, it really comes as no surprise that Liberty Pool was chosen to partner with In The Style. She was the first Islander in the 2021 series to reach 1 million followers on Instagram, despite the fact that she left the villa before the finale. And just as a reminder, Liberty forfeited her chance of winning the $50,000 prize money after choosing self-love over her relationship with Jake just days before the finale. So Liberty shared the announcement about the deal on her Instagram account, writing, "Such a pinch me moment. I'm so excited to announce that I'm working exclusively with In The Style. I've always loved In The Style and what they stand for with empowering women and being so inclusive. So I'm really excited to be working with the whole ITS team over the next few months. I'm going to be bringing you lots of fun content over the coming weeks while also creating my own collection. I want to make sure everything I do is true to me and hopefully make you all feel more confident in the style you wear."
So, Kate, let's dive a bit deeper into the fast fashion brand In The Style. Can you tell us a little bit more about them?
Yeah, so In The Style is one of the UK's leading e-commerce fast fashion brands with a current annual turnover of £40 million. And this year, In The Style was listed as a £105 million public company on the London Stock Exchange. Now, the brand boasts a database of over 1 million people and offers around 20,000 products on the site at one time. Now, the company came from humble beginnings and was founded by a 26-year-old named Adam Frisby in 2013. Now, when I saw him, I recognized him straight away as one of Charlotte Crosby's friends. Oh. However, I didn't realize he was actually the founder of In The Style. Now, I've got to point out that Adam did legitimately launch the brand from his bedroom with just £1,000 to his name thanks to a redundancy payment. Now, this is in stark contrast to another fast fashion brand owner called Umar Kamar, who is the founder of Pretty Little Thing. Now, Umar is often praised for launching his own brand from his bedroom. However, the reality is that his father is a British billionaire and co-founder of Boohoo. So you can
see that. I love that.
Yeah.
They're self-made. Always like, oh, self-made. And then it's like you delve a little bit deeper and their families are business owners or millionaires.
Do you know what makes me feel so sick, though? The fact that you said at the one time there are 20,000 products on the InStyle site.
Far out.
Like that is just crazy. Just thinking about the impact that has on the environment.
So back to Adam. He had no previous experience in starting or running a business. In fact, he actually dropped out of school at 15 and went on to work at various roles in hospitality. He even worked at Burger King. Adam then went on to move to Cornwall for 6 months because his brother was in a really serious accident where he lost his vision. So he was a carer for him. And then this led him on to working at a company which helped people with disabilities get back into the workforce. However, he was made redundant. So he went home with a £1,000 redundancy payment. And this is the money that he used to create In The Style, which is now valued at £105 million.
Now, how did he actually go about launching In The Style with only £1,000 to his name?
Well, from the very beginning, Adam wanted to create a fashion brand that tapped into the growing celebrity and social media culture. And at the time, no one was really doing this. So there was a huge gap in the market. And with that vision in mind, Adam came up with the name and he registered it online and got a friend to help with the website. Adam then bought 6 dresses from the wholesaler and it grew to 12 and then 18 and then onwards.
And now 20,000 different products.
So 3 months in, Adam had enough orders to afford a little office. And at the 4 month mark, Adam set up the brand's first high profile collaboration with Lauren Pope from TOWI. And looking back on it, Adam said it was quite a gutsy move because there were many brands wanting to work with Lauren. However, afterwards, Lauren told Adam she had chosen to work with him because she really bought into his vision and also the fact it was a genuine partnership.
It is really ballsy when you do think about it, because Lauren Pope was a really big celebrity, I suppose, from The Only Way Is Essex. Yeah. And it's really surprising that she would have chosen to work with this brand that was only 4 months in and to put her align her own personal brand with it.
Well, Adam did say that back in the day, there was a lot of snobbery around reality TV stars and a lot of brands weren't utilizing them.
It is so true, because I think what In The Style has done is use people that are very relatable. Like there's the likes of Charlotte Crosby from Geordie Shore. She had her own line. Binky from Made in Chelsea, Billy Ferrez from TOWI, and so many Love Island stars. And it's really interesting when you consider who they chose, because Danny Dyer's had her own collection with them, so is Shauna Phillips, and now Liberty. And I do feel like they are the women that a lot of girls relate to and can kind of see themselves in.
And despite the fact that I really hate the fact that they're a fast fashion brand and pumping out this excessive amount of clothes, I think the fact that they do provide very inclusive sizing is a reason why they are so popular and are somewhat relatable. I feel like in the last couple of years, the influencer landscape has changed so much in regards to marketing, particularly marketing clothes.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right, because it may seem like influencers are making a lot of money, but when you consider how much A-grade celebrities made before Instagram, it's really not comparable. So in the noughties, George Clooney was paid $40 million by Espresso to drink their coffee. And in 2012, Beyonce was paid $50 million by Pepsi to promote their soft drink. So with the rise of Instagram influencers, brands now have this ability to reach as many potential customers as they did with George Clooney and with Beyonce for a fraction of the cost. So back in 2017, one Boohoo executive bragged how giving influencers free pizza and clothes was enough to get them to post for them. However, I really think that in the last 4 years, things have greatly improved for influencers. And we are at a point where they want to be seen as more as just advertising vehicles. And I think influencers are tired of providing cheap marketing for fast fashion brands, and they want more profitable opportunities. And I think that they are becoming more savvy and want to cash in on their own personal brand.
Well, it's because they are all...
Well, it's because they all now are connected with managers. So the managers know what a hot commodity these influencers or reality TV stars are. And you only have to look at how many Love Island contestants from this year have gone out and scored deals. We've got Toby, who was coupled up with Chloe, who now has a fast fashion deal with Boohoo Man. We've also seen Faye and Lucinda team up with other fast fashion brands. They're the go-to people at the moment for this sort of stuff.
It kind of makes me think that the influencers themselves are a bit like fast fashion. If you look at somebody like Liberty, she is the it girl of 2021. She was the most popular person on Love Island. But she'll soon be discarded next year when new contestants go into Love Island and there's a new it girl. It's very much reminiscent of the fast fashion industry. It's like fast influencers. We'll use you now.
It seems like they're very expendable, and I think that's why they sign them up to collections. And
yeah,
I think that, yeah, it's, I mean, In The Style have worked with, I think it's 15 influencers now, and they've all had their own collections. I mean, with 20,000 products online, you can work with a lot of different people and see what works and see what doesn't. I do think it's interesting to have a look into how these deals actually work with the influencer, because the influencer receives a commission from sales. So they're really incentivized to promote their product to their followers. So there really has to be that buy-in that this influencer is going to spruik the product, because otherwise they're not going to get much out of it.
Well, you look at Saffron Barker, and she started working with In The Style over a year ago. She's had that many different collections, and it's because she clearly speaks to that younger Gen Zer audience, and she is constantly spruiking the clothing on her Instagram. The only thing is, when you spruik something so much, it becomes so obvious that she hasn't really had much to do with the designing of the clothes, because they pump out the different styles that.
To be honest, though, $1 million contract for having to continually spruik the product, that's pretty good, because you think how many people Liberty's going to reach if she's got 1 million followers. If In The Style had to pay each time for her to promote it on Instagram, it could quickly add up to over $1 million of promotion. Yeah, so it's really clever.
The thing is, I think it's purportedly $1 million, because people are guessing that that's how much she'll make from her commission with having a following like that.
Yeah.
It's important to note that In The Style also don't disclose how much it pays in commission, but Adam has said that the expenses are included in administration costs. So according to the latest results from In The Style, their administration cost increased by $2.5 million in the year to March. And specifically, there was a £1.8 million rise in marketing, which was primarily attributed to commission. However, when you consider gross profits from In The Style, they've gone from $10.4 million to $20.6 million. So it's safe to say that that money was very well spent.
I think it's really clever that Love Island winner Millie Court hasn't yet aligned herself with a fast fashion brand, because she really was the style icon of the show. She was renowned for having a very sophisticated style, and since leaving the show, she's been sharing about brands like Fendi and Jacquemus, and I just think that she doesn't fit that stereotypical fast, tacky
Sophie,
fashion.
Honestly, do you really think that Millie Court is not going to be the next one signed on to a huge fast fashion brand?
I think she might align herself with someone a bit more sophisticated.
She used to work for ASOS.
She worked for ASOS. I think she'll be more like Molly May. I don't think she'll be just doing some quick collection with someone. I think it might be a little bit more thought out. I do think more and more it seems like fast fashion brands are taking inspiration from In The Style's approach with how they deal so personally with influencers and try and make the collections very authentic. I mean, as you said, Sophie, Toby from Love Island is now an ambassador for Boohoo. Pretty Little Thing is also very keen to align themselves with influencers. I mean, they named Molly May as their creative director last month. That was a massive move in the influencer space. And I think Molly May's quote to the BBC really sums it up. She said, "I'm not an influencer anymore, and people can see that. It's become a lot more than that."
Okay, look, I think we got off on the wrong foot here.
That's all you got, lady. Two wrong feet in fucking ugly shoes.
On Monday, we spoke about the return of belly chains. Well, Kate and Sophie, there's another trend on the rise in Australia, and it's a trend I think I can get around. Pillow slides, which are also known as cloud slides, are the new go-to ugly shoe style of 2021. Have you guys seen them?
No.
When you said pillow slides, I immediately got in my head that scene from Friends where Ross shows Chandler how to slide his girlfriend off his arms when they're sleeping in bed. That's what I thought of.
No.
So what? There's a pair of slides that feels like you're floating on a cloud. Yeah. Is that what it is?
Well, what do they look like? Well, they're a chunky looking slide that are made of a lightweight plastic material, and it's got a 4 centimeter thick sole. So that's where the name pillow comes from, because as you walk, it feels like your foot is stepping on a pillow.
I feel like this is some sort of product that's just been hyped on TikTok. It doesn't sound that comfortable to me.
Oh, my gosh. No, apparently they're so comfortable. And it's crazy, though, because all of these ugly sandals are just so high fashion at the moment. So Kanye West, he's released some really dorky slides as part of his Yeezy fashion. And we've seen the ugly slide trend sweeping social media since 2015 when Birkenstocks rose in popularity.
I'm sorry, Birkenstocks are not ugly, Amy.
No, but think of them. Back in the
day.
They
used to be.
Yeah, because any shoe now that looks like a podiatrist has given it the A-OK, they're in fashion. Think about it. Everything
what about
ugly.
Crocs? I mean, that's criminal that Crocs are back in. I did just do a sneaky Google of these shoes, and I've been seeing Molly Mae wearing these for ages now. Mm. They're very popular, and they're so ugly. Like, it just blows my mind all these things in fashion, but I kind of like it because remember back in the day when we used to very rarely go out to nightclubs and having to wear stiletto heels? Like, how great is it that comfortable shoes are in fashion?
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people have been joking about online. They're saying that since they've lived the lockdown lifestyle of just being able to wear comfy clothes and comfy shoes, they can't even think about wearing heels out and about. They want these shoes to stay in fashion for a long time. But what's really hilarious is I feel like this is a fashion trend that boys just don't understand, because Dale walked in the other night when I was watching a YouTube video with Molly Mae, and she was showing off her new Yeezy slides, and he was like, what on earth are they? See, they're disgusting.
I feel like Brandon is quite up with the fashion because he really likes the oversized jumpers, the oversized t-shirts. He's not a fan of the wide-legged pants, though.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those trends that's not that flattering.
But don't you think you hit a certain age where, you know, you were in your prime, and you kind of then tend to stick to clothes that were in that era?
Yeah.
Like, it happened to my ex-boyfriend. Everyone's got this on-running joke that he still wears, well, I assume he still wears cargo pants with the big pockets on the side.
They might come back, like, in fashion
camo
this year.
Ones.
They might come back because it's all the Y2K fashion.
So does that mean that all of the people who are in their early 20s now, in 10 years, they'll be wearing those baggy-ass pants everywhere and Crocs?
Probably.
And they'll be look so tragic to the latest 20-year-olds.
I hope so.
Well, it's probably like us still wearing skinny jeans.
Yeah.
I do feel embarrassed sometimes to wear my skinny jeans, I have to say.
Hey, I wear them with pride.
I know a lot of people in our group were saying that they were cringing when we mentioned that hipsters were coming back in. And I think this is a really unpopular opinion, but I hate high-waisted jeans. They are so uncomfortable. I don't know if I've got the wrong ones, but I feel so suffocated in them and that my stomach is just like crunched in. I can't wear them at restaurants.
They
ride. I actually don't mind hipsters.
But Kate, what goes with hipsters is, in, I know if you wear a big jumper, but what sort of other top? It looks bloody weird. It looks like your torso is so long being tucked
into. That's true.
Into
like, as we spoke about, I don't like having my belly button on display. So yeah, I get that. But I'm saying from a comfort perspective, if you are wearing, no, do you know what it is? Remember those longer tops? They're kind of like peasant tops that were in fashion. It's probably the longer top.
Oh my God. Are they going to bring those fucking ugly belts back in? You know those belt that you wear
headbands?
Over your shirt?
Clearly the worst part about hipsters was your bum crack always being on display.
Dude, not far off 1 mil. Our whole life's about to change.
Really? You reckon?
Brother, please. Money, helicopters, big homes on the water, private butlers. And you can't forget about the women. Oh, the women.
Comedy duo The Inspired Unemployed have opened up about the disgustingly awkward moments they experience when hosting the red carpet for the Arias and GQ Awards. So, for those who don't know, who are The Inspired Unemployed?
I really feel like people fall into two camps. It's either people who are utterly obsessed with these guys or people who have no idea who they are. We've had so many meetings where we've tried to explain to middle-aged clients who these guys are and why so many people are utilizing them in their marketing campaigns.
Isn't that like everyone in the influencer space when you're trying to be like, no, this person has a million followers and like I've never heard of them.
Soph and I are always trying to find their funniest video, and you feel so pressured to be like, oh my gosh, I want to represent how funny they are, but is this the video to show?
It's funny because I didn't even know what
their real names were to begin with. I feel like everyone just knows them as the Inspired Unemployed. I didn't even know what their real names were. But for those playing at home, it's Jack Still and Matt Ford, and they're both in their mid-20s. They're really known as the Aussie battlers behind the social media account, which is, of course, called the Inspired Unemployed. And they have grown massively over COVID. They now have over 1 million followers.
So if I've got to ask you, which one's Jack and which one's Matt?
Oh, that's a good question. So Jack is the taller one that I feel like a lot of girls want to date. So the other one...
Is he more naturally fair-haired? Because I know they've both got bleach blonde hair at the moment, but I think...
Yes, he's more...
Matt is the one normally with darker hair.
Yeah. So Jack is the kind of fairer-haired one. Matt, you'd probably describe him as the goofier one. I personally think he's the funniest one out of the duo.
Yeah,
I love them both, but he is hilarious. And they're really quickly being compared to comedy duo Hamish and Andy. I feel like they are the Hamish and Andy of our time.
Definitely. It's so weird, though, because they are that really relatable comedy duo, but they seem to be popping up everywhere. So they've modeled for Fendi and Louis Vuitton, and they've even scored a deal with The Iconic. And it's so weird to see them popping up because I know they... You know, they're famous for taking the piss out of things, but it's funny that those sorts of brands would want to align, you know, these prestigious brands would want to align with them.
I think it's really clever marketing, and the latest big brand that's aligned with them has been Spotify. So the guys have been picked up to do their own Spotify original podcasts, and I really loved the first episode because they spoke about how they felt so out of their depths when they were asked to host the red carpet for the Arias and GQ Awards. Now, I didn't know, but at the time, they were still working as tradies. So this was in 2019. Really? I didn't even know they were tradies because they have all these videos of them on work sites. But I just assumed that they were taking the piss from friends or, you know, acquaintances.
Can you imagine them? I'm not so sure what sort of tradies they are, but if they came to your house and you're just like, what?
So it's really crazy because on the Tuesday, they were working at the work site. Then on the Wednesday, they were hosting the Arias and on the Thursday, they were hosting GQ. And it's really funny because they said that their philosophy is just to wing it. And they said that they were really naive about it and so out of their depth because they really didn't know any of the celebrities who were rocking up at these events.
See, I think there's a difference between winging it when you're filming like a short TikTok or Instagram video that you can edit. However, being like interviewing people on the red carpet must be so different. I can imagine them going to their bosses and asking for time off. Like, oh, I'm just, you know, interviewing A-listers on the red carpet.
Well, I feel like their hosting jobs has really haunted them because they described it as being disgustingly awkward. So apparently Jack was wearing one of those dental mouth guards that people wear in those games, which kind of restrict the way they speak. Anyway, he said there was absolutely...
Oh, like with their lips all pulled back.
Yeah.
And their teeth.
So he said there was absolutely no context for the people that they were interviewing. He just looked like this crazy person. And apparently they interviewed two hosts from Triple J and they went up to them and they're like, oh yeah, can we come to the after party with you? And these women were completely freaked out. They basically said, you're freaking me out. You're creeping me out. Can you please go away? And they said that that was a real shot to their confidence on the night. So this was followed up the next day at the GQ Awards by them completely fucking up and not knowing who Zendaya was. So there was this huge hype around Zendaya.
Who is Zendaya?
God, you don't even know who she is. Who is she? I don't even know it myself. She's an American actress and apparently she has over 110 million followers and she's well known for her.
I love how you said apparently she has, like as if you don't believe it because none of us know who the fuck she is. Apparently she's an actress.
I can relate to them. I feel for them because there are so many people at those awards night that you're like, who the hell is this? Well, it was awkward because she was there to promote her role in Euphoria. So basically, there was this big hype of, oh, when is she going to get here? Anyway, the guys from Inspired Unemployed, they had no idea who she was. And because her name's quite unusual, they assumed that she was this male model who rocked up. They were interviewing someone. They're like, we can't believe Zendaya's behind us. And luckily, the guy played along and was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, they finally got up to interview her and they had no idea what they were asking her. They didn't even ask her about the show. And it was pretty funny because they did own it and they played the clip. And it was really relatable because I feel like working in PR, you kind of have to pretend you know who all these people are and who's in the in crowd. It's like when we were working. It was like when we were working at IndieCon, and we had no idea who the people are. Like, we just listened to Taylor Swift, and then they're wanting us to interview all these cool indie artists.
Well, I remember G Flip was there, and I only knew about them because of the song that they did about Steph Claire Smith, having a crush on Steph Claire Smith. And that was the only sort of parallel in my little teeny bopper world that I could draw into knowing who this person is.
But do you know what? Just back to the Inspired Unemployed, I reckon the reason that people love them is the fact that they still were working as tradies because they're so relatable. Like, if you compare them to other influencers, because I would put them now into the influencer category considering they are working with such big brands, but some of these influencers have never really worked a day in their life. And I feel like by having a group of friends who are relatively down to earth, as well as having previously worked as tradies, they just know what's funny.
Yeah, but there's that worry that they might become not funny anymore. It's sort of like, I know it's a really weird comparison, but when Good Charlotte used to sing about being losers and bullied at school and then they became famous.
Yeah, Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous, that's was a bit awkward when they got really famous.
Hasn't aged well.
Told you I look stupid.
You don't look stupid, OT. You look chic and expensive.
OT?
Oh yeah, Otis was a bit babyish, so I changed it. Okay, let's go.
Now, this is one for Sex Education fans. Rumours are swirling that Asa Butterfield, who plays Otis Milburn, is actually dating his on-screen fling, Ruby Matthews, who is played by Mimi Keane. Now, I have to put it out there. I thought that this was the most unbelievable and unlikely pairing on the show. So to hear that they are actually dating in real life, or possibly dating in real life, has rocked me to my core.
I call bullshit. Do you know what I found really interesting? Because I'm a big fan of Sex Ed, and we were talking about it the other day at family dinner, and everybody's boyfriends agreed that they thought Ruby was hotter than Maeve.
Controversial.
See, I totally disagree because I think Maeve looks, I mean, this is commonly known, she looks exactly like Margot Robbie. They tried to play it down on this series, dyeing her hair darker, but it she's still very much like Margot Robbie.
Yeah, like they're obviously both stunning, but I feel like Maeve is just amazing.
Well, that being said, I thought that the pairing would have been quite unpopular, but apparently, the pairing of Otis and Ruby was really well received by Sex Education fans who now really want to see them together in real life. Now, do you guys want to hear why fans are convinced that they're dating?
Yeah, why?
Well, basically, it is due to a super fan who did some serious digging on Instagram.
Is this you, Sophie?
No, it is not me. I'm not a super fan. I'm not. If anything, I am a fan. If anything, I am a fan of Isaac. He was my favorite on there.
Do you notice they say Isaac?
Isaac, yes. Anyway.
I thought you were going to say you would be doing this deep dive if it was Outer Banks with John B.
Oh,
and
let's not get Sophie started about that.
Beautiful blonde girl. What was her name?
Sarah Cameron.
So basically, this TikToker has done a big deep dive into Asa and Mimi's Instagram accounts and discovered that the actors had been hanging out off set. So back in
controversial.
June, So back in June, they posted a photo on Instagram in what looks like the same buttercup field. So Asa captioned the photo of himself in the field saying, "Bill and Ben could never." And that's in relation to the
Sophie,
show.
See, Sophie, do you get that now?
Yes.
Because I was saying to you today on a walk when we were talking about my new golden retriever that Laura Henshaw's golden retrievers are called Bill and Ben, the flower pot men. And you guys are like, I didn't even know what that show is.
I know.
I love that it's come up today.
I did laugh at that. I'm confused why they're in a field of flowers. Like,
well,
how is this a date for these guys?
Well, let's get – so Mimi captioned the photo. Yeah, exactly. While Mimi captioned the photo, "Do you like butter?" Now, fans think it might be a clue because Asa's last name is, of course, Butterfield. So they think that she's been quite coy talking about this date. Now, speculation was fueled even further when both of the actors changed their profile photos to the buttercup field photos. Now, this TikToker created a video about her theory, which has received more than 500,000 likes. So she could be onto something.
But don't you think this is just your very typical promotional thing that TV shows try to do? They try and pretend that people on the show are together in real life to gain more attention over it. And then people will go back and look at scenes that they're in and see if there's anything there. Like, do you think that this could be a case of that?
Yeah, I totally think. I'm sorry, Sophie, to say this, but I think this is totally a publicity stunt.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. We hope you all have an amazing weekend. And it's a long weekend here in Adelaide, not to rub it in.
And if you have enjoyed the show, could you please make sure you are subscribed on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and make sure to leave us a 5-star review.
And please share on Instagram where you're listening to the podcast from. Tag us at outspoken_the_podcast.